"My Fist-speakers tell me that you went to the Citadel immediately after Cianoc," Leto said. He stared accusingly at Idaho, who stood near where Hui had sat only an hour ago. Such a small passage of time, yet Leto felt the emptiness as centuries.
"I needed time to think," Idaho said.
He looked into the shadowy pit where Leto's cart rested.
"And to talk to Siona?"
"Yes." Idaho lifted his gaze to Leto's face.
"But you asked for Maneo," Leto said.
"Do they report on every movement I make?" Idaho demanded.
"Not every movement.
Sometimes people need to be alone."
"Of course. But do not blame the fish speakers for being concerned about you."
"Siona says she is to be tested."
"Was that why you asked for Maneo?"
"What is this test?"
"Maneo knows. I presumed that was why you wanted to see him."
"You presume nothing. You know."
"Cianoc has upset you, Duncan. I am sorry."
"Do you have any idea what it's like to be me, here?"
"The Gola's lot is not easy," Leto said. "Some lives are harder than others."
"I don't need any juvenile philosophy."
"What do you need, Duncan?"
"I need to know some things."
"Such as?"
"I don't understand any of these people around you. Without showing any surprise about it, Maneo tells me that Siona was part of a rebellion against you. His own daughter."
"In his day, Maneo too was a rebel."
"See what I mean? Did you test him too?"
"Yes."
"Will you test me?"
"I am testing you."
Idaho glared at him, then,
"I don't understand your government, your empire, anything. The more I find out, the more I realize that I don't know what's going on."
"How fortunate that you have discovered the way of wisdom," Leto said.
"What?"
Idaho's baffled outrage raised his voice to a battlefield roar which filled the small room. Leto smiled.
"Duncan, have I not told you that when you think you know something, that is a most perfect barrier against learning?"
"Then tell me what's going on."
"My friend Duncan Idaho is acquiring a new habit. He is learning always to look beyond what he thinks he knows."
"All right, all right."
Idaho nodded his head slowly in time to the words.
"Then what's beyond letting me take part in that Cianoc thing?"
"I am binding the fish speakers to the commander of my guard."
"And I have to fight them off. The escort that took me out to the Citadel wanted to stop for an orgy, and the ones who brought me back here when you—"
"They know how much it pleases me to see children of Duncan Idaho."
"Damn you, I'm not your stud."
"No need to shout, Duncan."
Idaho took several deep breaths, then,
"When I tell them no, they act hurt at first, and then they treat me like some damned—"
he shook his head—
"holy man or something."
"Don't they obey you?"
"They don't question anything, unless it's contrary to your orders. I didn't want to come back here."
"Yet they brought you. You know damned well they won't disobey you."
"I'm glad you came, Duncan."
"Oh, I can see that. The fish speakers know how special you are, how fond I am of you, how much I owe you. It's never a question of obedience and disobedience where you and I are concerned."
"Then what is it a question of?"
"Loyalty."
Idaho fell into pensive silence.
"You felt the power of Cianoc?" Leto asked.
"Mumbo jumbo."
"Then why are you disturbed by it?"
"Your fish speakers aren't an army, they're a police force."
"By my name, I assure you that's not so. Police are inevitably corrupted."
"You tempted me with power," Idaho accused.
"That's the test, Duncan."
"You don't trust me?"
"I trust your loyalty to the Atreides implicitly, without question."
"Then what's this talk of corruption and testing?"
"You were the one who accused me of having a police force. Police always observe that criminals prosper. It takes a pretty dull policeman to miss the fact that the position of authority is the most prosperous criminal position available."
Idaho wet his lips with his tongue and stared at Leto with obvious puzzlement.
"But the moral training of, I mean the legal, the prisons to—"
"What good are laws and prisons when the breaking of a law is not a sin?"
Idaho cocked his head slightly to the right.
"Are you trying to tell me that your damned religion is punishment of sins can be quite extravagant?"
Idaho hooked a thumb over his shoulder toward the world outside the door.
"All this talk about death penalties,
that flogging and I try to dispense with casual laws and prisons wherever possible.
You have to have some prisons.
Do I? Prisons are needed only to provide the illusion that courts and police are effective. They're a kind of job insurance.
Idaho turned slightly and thrust a pointing finger toward the door through which he had entered the small room.
You've got whole planets that are nothing but prisons.
I guess you could think of anywhere as a prison, if that's the way your illusions go.
Illusions!
Idaho dropped his hand to his side and stood dumbfounded.
Yes, you talk of prisons and police and legalities, the perfect illusions behind which a prosperous power structure can operate, while observing, quite accurately, that it is above its own laws.
And you think crimes can be dealt with by...
Not crimes, Duncan. Sins.
So you think your religion can...
Have you noted the primary sins?
What?
Attempting to corrupt a member of my government, and corruption by a member of my government.
And what is this corruption?
Essentially, it's the failure to observe and worship the holiness of the god Leto.
You?
Me?
But you told me right at the beginning that
you think I don't believe in my own godhead? Be careful, Duncan.
Idaho's voice came with angry flatness.
You told me that one of my jobs was to help keep your secret. That you...
You don't know my secret.
That you're a tyrant? That's no...
Gods have more power than tyrants, Duncan.
I don't like what I'm hearing.
When has an Atreides ever asked you to like your job?
You ask me to command your fishbeakers, who are judge, jury, and executioner?
Idaho broke off.
And what?
Idaho remained silent. Leto stared across the chill distance between them, so short a space, yet so far.
It's like playing a fish on a line, Leto thought. You must calculate the breaking point of every element in the contest.
The problem with Idaho was that bringing him to the net always hastened his end, and it was happening too rapidly this time. Leto felt sadness.
"I won't worship you," Idaho said. "The fish speakers recognize that you have a special dispensation," Leto said.
"Like Maneo and Siona?"
"Much different."
"So rebels are a special case?"
Leto grinned.
"All of my most trusted administrators were rebels at one time. I wasn't a..."
"You were a brilliant rebel.
You helped the Atreides wrest an empire from a reigning monarch."
Idaho's eyes went out of focus with introspection.
"So I did."
He shook his head sharply as though tossing something out of his hair.
"And look what you've done with that empire."
"I have set up a pattern in it, a pattern of patterns."
"So you say."
"Information is frozen in patterns, Duncan. We can use one pattern to solve another pattern. Flow patterns are the hardest to recognize and understand." "More mumbo-jumbo." "You made that mistake once before."
"Why do you let the Talealaxu keep bringing me back to life, one gola after another? Where's the pattern in that?"
"Because of the qualities which you possess in abundance. I will let my father say it."
Idaho's mouth drew into a grim line. Leto spoke in Muad'Dib's voice, and even the cowled face fell into a semblance of the paternal features.
"You were my truest friend, Duncan, better even than Gurney Halleck, but I am the past."
Idaho swallowed hard.
"The things you're doing!"
"They cut against the Atreides grain?"
"You're damned right!"
Leto resumed his ordinary tones.
"Yet I'm still Atreides."
"Are you really?"
"What else could I be?"
"I wish I knew."
"You think I play tricks with words and voices?"
"What in all the seven hells are you really doing?"
"I preserve life while setting the stage for the next cycle."
"You preserve it by killing?"
"Death has often been useful to life. That's not Atreides." "But it is. We often saw the value of death. The Ixians, however, have never seen that value."
"What have the Ixians got to do with everything?"
"They would make a machine to conceal their other machinations."
Idaho spoke in a musing tone.
"Is that why the Ixian ambassador was here?"
"You've seen Hui Nori," Leto said.
Idaho pointed upward.
"She was leaving as I arrived."
"You spoke to her?"
"I asked her what she was doing here. She said she was choosing sides."
A burst of laughter erupted from Leto.
"Oh, my," he said. "She is so good. Did she reveal her choice?"
"She said she serves the God Emperor now. I didn't believe her, of course."
but you should believe her.
Why?
Ah, yes. I forgot that you once doubted even my grandmother, the Lady Jessica.
I had good reason.
Do you also doubt Siona?
I'm beginning to doubt everyone.
And you say you don't know your value to me,
Leto accused.
What about Siona? Idaho demanded. She says you want us. I mean, damn it.
The thing you must always trust about Siona is her creativity. She can create the new and beautiful. One always trusts the truly creative.
Even the machinations of the Ixians?
That is not creative. You always know the creative because it is revealed openly. Concealment betrays the existence of another force entirely.
Then you don't trust this Hui Nori, but you...
I do trust her, and precisely for the reasons I have just given you.
Idaho scowled, then relaxed and sighed.
I had better cultivate her acquaintance. If she is someone you...
No!
You will stay away from Hui Nori. I have something special in mind for her. I have isolated the city experience within me and have examined it closely. The idea of a city fascinates me. The formation of a biological community without a functioning, supportive social community leads to havoc. Whole worlds have become single biological communities without an interrelated social structure, and this has always led to ruin. It becomes dramatically instructive under overcrowded conditions. The ghetto is lethal. Psychic stresses of overcrowding create pressures which will erupt. The city is an attempt to manage these forces. The social forms by which cities make the attempt are worth study. Remember that there exists a certain malevolence about the formation of any social order. It is the struggle for existence by an artificial entity. Despotism and slavery hover at the edges. Many injuries occur, and thus the need for laws. The law develops its own power structure, creating more wounds and new injustices. Such trauma can be healed by cooperation, not by confrontation. The summons to cooperate identifies the healer.
The Stolen Journals.